This episode of The Morning Stream brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Build an incredible website, portfolio, online blog, store, and more easily, simply, and with all the tools you'll ever need. Go to squarespace.com and use the code MORNING at checkout and save 10% on your order. That's MORNING at checkout at squarespace.com. Coming up on TMS, that's some next level stuff, Third Eagle.
John Romero has a surprise.
Everyone quits in Colorado.
Warcraft might take some liberties.
Ted Cruz has a lady doppelganger.
Major spoilers.
V for Video Games and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Oh, you know, it's funny that you should say one, because that's how many grandchildren that I have.
Oh, hell no. You will stop now.
The Morning Stream.
How dare you talk to me that way?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream, for Monday, the frickin' 25th of April, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brandy Bird.
Hello.
Hello.
We're here. We're doing it. It's been a weekend. We've had that in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Had a gorgeous weekend. Boy, here was close to 80 degrees in Colorado.
We had a high of 85, and then it rained and blew a lot of wind. So I don't know if that's coming your way or not, but that was.
Yeah, it is. We've been seeing rain is coming for the next several days. So
All right. This
was a good weekend for us to. I stripped all the crap off the fence, did some power washing of the fence, and basically got all the muck and grime and gunk on it that's been accumulating for the last
I saw photos. You were out there doing man's work out there. That was great.
That's right. Oh, you know what? And there's something really satisfying about power washing a fence, because I mean, you're using this high pressure, like a high pressure car wash thing, you know, what you use when you go through the car wash bays.
Yeah.
And as you go down the fence, it just like, it's like night and day. It's like taking a squeegee to a dirty window. So
it's fun in a kind of a gamey kind of way, isn't it?
Right. It totally is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're
making progress. Katamari
Damacy-ing that business off of there.
I like the way you look at it.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad that happened. It was nice here, too. We got a lot of stuff done. Busy weekend. Also took some time to chill, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Started reading this book. Maybe I've talked about it last week, but I started reading this book series called Hater, the Hater Trilogy.
Ooh. Okay.
And it's not about internet trolls, like I thought. It's about, it's like a weird alternate take on zombies, except they're not really zombies. It's just, imagine a world, Brian, where you're just walking around, you're at the store, and suddenly the lady at the store stops in her tracks, totally normal old lady, stops in her tracks, stares ahead of her for a minute, looks like she's kind of out of it, and then suddenly attacks the closest person to her with like a brick and smashes their head in until they're just
pulled.
Imagine that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of what starts happening and starts spreading.
That's some hater business right there,
for
sure.
They're called haters, and it's all British, very British, this book, and I'm digging it. It's super, super reedy. Wow. I was like up till 2 reading that damn thing, so I'm kind of tired.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, recommended there, folks. Anyway, let's get to it. We got stuff. It's a new week. Cool. It's a chance for us to talk to Steven today and Veronica later. We got news. We got all kinds of poop. We're shaking up the Daryl Stump Daryl segment today just a tiny, tiny bit. So listeners, if you're participating today and you know how to do that, right? Write this number down, 801-895-4724. Don't call it yet, but when Daryl's on, you can call. First caller in gets to participate in a way that even Daryl doesn't know about yet.
Right. Oh, now you've made him nervous. Good job.
Yep.
Now.
Yep. He doesn't know. And it's all based on something Corinne.
Doesn't know.
Corinne Lewis, I had dinner with Corinne and Jason the other night, and she had the suggestion, and I liked it. And you and I talked, and we decided let's try it this week. So
let's give it a shot, because it adds something that that was missing from this. So I like it.
Yep, I like it too. And hopefully we just don't want any cheaters. That's all I'm worried about.
Right, exactly. Well, you know,
we already believe Daryl when he says he doesn't cheat. We believe him. We don't have proof, but we believe him.
We have a poster on our wall that says we want to believe.
Yes,
Daryl doesn't cheat.
There's a picture of his floating head over the mountain. Anyway, so let's get to it. Brian found something over the weekend that made me smile. The Third Eagle's at it again. Now, this guy, you know, we talk about him on the show occasionally. He'll get on his little camera there, little vlog, video, YouTube-y business, and he'll tell us prophecies based on Psy videos and
Right. Whatever's hot and current.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
the new commercial for The Negotiator features a number 4 behind William Shatner's head. And as we know, number 4 is the leopard.
The definite confirmation. Everything is 100% sure. It's always based on like Kim Kardashian's butt or whatever's in the news.
And times.
Are you going to put them on your ridiculous?
No, we're not.
The way you put me on your ridiculous.
Okay, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. Anyway, he...
Number 2. All right.
Excellent.
Anyway, it's a guy we love, and we love hearing from him. And so he decided to bring out his little friend, his friend Mary, I guess, and have his little Mary statue lady sit next to him.
Right.
Out in the yard.
Weird video. Like the latest business, I guess it's like been a few videos, but I haven't watched for a while until this one caught my eye. But yeah, he's got the got a statue of Mary right next to him, and some other weird, I don't know if you saw, but he's got a bunch of weird sculptures behind him. So I don't know if this is at a park or if his house just is like, I mean, we think we've seen the inside of his house, right? On the video where he's got statues and
I think so. I think that we are supposed to have seen, I believe that is the inside of his home.
It's crazy. Like he lives in a museum or something.
Yes. So I'm going to show, let's see.
That eagle belongs in a museum.
Here is a, for those watching the stream, you can see him sitting next to a statue, but it's not even the one we're talking about. The one we're talking about is this one. I'm not going to play the video, but here we go. So you can see here, and as we know, this is Third Eagle sitting next to this Mary statue while she's pointing at a heart on her chest. I don't know the meaning of any of this. Also, she seems to have brass knuckles on her forehead. Or the Olympics, I guess. As we know, brass knuckles on the head informs us. And what's behind him? Did you notice that?
Those are those weird statues I'm talking about. Like little monoliths, twisty monoliths.
I thought you were talking about something else. I don't know what those are. Yeah, right. They're like modern art, or they probably mean something.
Probably.
These holes represent the Swiss cheese that Daniel ate in the lion's den. And as we know, right? All right.
Exactly.
So we know this guy. We love him. We respect him. Well, we don't do any of this.
Yeah, stuff, I know. We love him.
Yeah, we do love him. Brian heard him talk in his recent video, which is that one I was just showing, where he talks about the death of Prince and what it means for prophecy. And he talks about all of these connections between Prince and end times and, you know, all this crap, like he always does with whatever's current. For some reason, he thinks that the only portrayers, I would love to sit down and ask him this. Why is it that the only signs of the apocalypse, of the times, of the prophecies, of all this stuff, why is it only through entertainment stuff?
Right, right, exactly.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Is that how God would get us to convey his messages? Through reality shows and sci videos and...
Yeah. Especially
and Carly Rae Jepsen. Is Carly Rae Jepsen his messenger?
Well, and like, what do you do? Like, if you're Third Eagle in India, is it all through Bollywood, like sing along? Like, where you're just picking and choosing there, Grandpa?
That doesn't make sense. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, it bugs me. So anyway, he talked about Prince and Prince's death meaning something. And Brian threw together this fabulous, let's call it a mashup.
Remix, yeah, mashup.
Sure, that it features a little bit of Third Eagle, a little bit of Prince, and a little bit of Greatness. So I'm going to play it for you now. Check it out.
Welcome to Revelation Unraveled. I'm your host, William Tapley. Also known as the Third Eagle of the Apocalypse and the co-prophet of these end times. Well, let me talk about the symbol first. If you look up that symbol, which I guess Prince used as his name for a while, it is a perversion of the cross. It is made up of a male and a female form. And it's kind of a ripoff of the Ankh cross. And that fits with Prince's persona of being androgynous, that is both male and female. Now, I had never seen any of his music, but I did watch a few videos. And I really don't care much for his music.
Hold on. Hold on.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a...
I have to at least say something here. He's never seen any of his music, but I did watch a few of his videos.
Isn't that the very definition of seeing his music?
Yeah, you've literally seen his music. What you... all right. What does that mean? Is there some kind of deep hidden meaning to what you just said? I don't know. All right. There's more. I couldn't let that go. That drove me nuts.
Music, although he does put a lot of razzle dazzle into his performances. 2000 body over. Party like it's 1999. He sang and wrote about the end times. In this millennium, Peace wrote songs about a dream he had of Judgment Day, where he said the sky was purple and looked like purple rain. He wrote a song called Purple Rain. He saw people dying everywhere. And he said, the voice said, 2000, and it will all be gone. From the Prince of Peace. 2000 body over roots, out of time. Tonight I'm gonna party like it's 1999.
Excellent work, dude. That was awesome.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Freaking love it. It made my day when I heard that. And hope you guys enjoyed it as well. It's pretty awesome. Anyway, there he is. Third Eagle of the Apocalypse and co-prophet of these
end
times. Putin. All right. Also, I got something to show you here. Check this out.
All right.
Chat room, I'm going to blow my window up. You'll see Brian small and me big. Sorry about the sunglasses. My head is killing me and I need some. Okay, here we go. I have in my hands something that's going to be a little bit weird to explain. Oh, all right. Brian, you can see this, right?
I can, yeah.
Okay, it's a it's a unicorn.
Type. Is that your furry costume?
It's a flaccid unicorn. it is, so I guess I can open this. It's never been opened. It's okay. So there's a local fan. You know him. His name is Jim Jensen. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes to Nerdtacular every time we do one. He's always at events and stuff, always helping out, always a very nice guy, awesome guy. Him and his wife are great. And they sat right up front last year in Nerdtacular. So they were always like right up front. And I said on Twitter yesterday in a very passing, short, jokey tweet, I said, man, I would love a horse or a dog-sized horse. Okay? That's all I said.
Okay.
And most people wrote back with like, oh, you get one of those dwarf pony horse things. Or
oh,
you
right, can... yeah, like they have that Amazon commercial. Yeah.
And what I was meaning is like, you know, the size of a chihuahua or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant. But there's no horse that big. That
there's small. Many sizes of dog, Scott.
There are. And, it, you know, if I'm looking for something like a Great Dane, there are horses about the size of a Great Dane. But I don't, you know, don't necessarily want that. So he sends me an email last night, and I only got it this morning, that said, I have one of these, and you've asked for it, and I don't think your neighbors will care, but I'm not sure what your HOA rules are, but I'm going to bring this, I'm going to bring a horse, and you can tie it up to the side of the house or something. And I freaked out and went, no!
Yeah, no.
This, we can't have a horse here. Don't bring a horse. I even told him in the email. I said, don't bring a horse. It's fine. Everything's fine. He says, I'll be there about 8 or 8:30 your time. I'm like, holy crap. That's right before the show starts. There's nothing I can do to stop this. And because if he's, when I got the email, he must have been already on the road. So I'm thinking he's literally trailering a horse over here. Shows up at the door. Bing bong. I'm terrified. I'm like, what is Jim going to have at the door?
Right.
Open the door. And it's this guy. It's this happy little unicorn.
Oh, he's got a great little face, too. Look at that.
Yeah, look, him smiling. His horn's up now. Look at that.
Yeah.
It was not all down.
Just saw something you liked, apparently.
Anyway, I have a big pink unicorn, and it is.
And he's got a saddle, too, Scott.
Yep. Yeah, I can't ride it on the air because I can't situate a camera around, but I'll figure something out. Look.
Thanks for showing us his.
There's his butthole. And there's your horse.
Awesome.
Here, I'm gonna put it over here. All right. Anyway, kind of a weird thing to get on a Monday morning, if I'm being honest. It was an odd experience.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed that chat room. All right, let's call Daryl and try this new trick we're gonna do today.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Well, of course. Yeah. Let's try it.
You like the sound of that? Okay. I'm nervous. I'm a little nervous because it's a new way of doing it. and he's not even aware of what we're doing. Okay, here's the thing.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
All right, it's time for us to try this out. It's Stump Daryl, and it's brought to you by
Leafdom. It's a new fantasy book campaigning on Kindle Scout. Elements of innocent fairies interwoven with some of the darkest horrors of hell. Leafdom is packed with action and magic. Let's help Jesse Teller by voting for Leafdom to be published. We know how great the Frog Pants community is, and we could use your support. Please go to kindlescout.amazon.com today and nominate Leafdom. That's L-I-E-F-D-O-M.
Nice. On the line with us is Daryl Skeels. Hi, Daryl.
What are you going to do to me now?
Oh, are you nervous? Are you feeling it? You're just, I was actually going to warn you, but I forgot. And it's actually not that big of a deal, but it's, yeah. It actually should help you.
Exactly. If nothing, if you should actually be the person who likes this the most.
Yeah, I think you're going to like it.
Okay.
We have a listener on the line as well. Hi. Oh, we did. We don't now. They're gone. Let's try this one. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Oh, hey, this is Justin.
Well, hello, Justin.
Hey, Justin. How you doing?
Where are you? Where are you located?
I'm in located in Lincoln, Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, that's where you can go get all your, you can hide all your company's money, tax-free money, right? Or is that, am I thinking of Delaware? It might be Delaware. No, that is Rhode Island, Delaware, isn't it? No, Rhode Island or Delaware are one of those two states. You can hide all, you can do all your offshore, like you used to have to do like Zurich, Switzerland or something, but now companies can hide their tax evasion money right there in your home state, I think.
Wow.
I think it's you guys.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's somebody,
yeah, that's great.
There's some economist or accounting person listening to this and going, Scott, you're an idiot. So I'm probably getting this wrong. Anyway, it's good to have you on, man. Now, let me explain to both of you just the change. Or Brian, you can. Do you want to exchange?
Sure,
you're the rules guy. Tell them how
this
works.
So I'll tell you just the basic rules here, Justin. We are going to give you the category for a question, and you are going to predict whether or not you think Daryl can get that question right or not. That part hasn't changed. Then we're going to ask Daryl the question. Here is where stuff gets all mixed up and changed up. You and Daryl will get to converse and discuss the answers. You could steer him wrong. You could steer him right. It's completely up to you, whatever you want to do. Daryl's going to answer the question. If your prediction is correct, you win a prize, which today we're starting a new prize package.
Yeah.
I think, right? Did we give stuff away last
week? I think we did. I think we had a winner last week. So I think we're starting new.
I've got a Steam code for a game. I should have had this ready, shouldn't I?
That's all right. If you don't have one, I do. So you.
If you've got yours handy, do you have it handy?
I do have it handy.
Okay.
How about this one?
And I'll do tomorrow's Steam code.
Okay, let's see. Okay, here we go. This is a Halo 5 Guardian Supply Requisition Pack.
Wow.
I don't actually know what that is, but it's given to us by Diago Santos.
Do you have to have Halo 5 to use it?
You have to have a Halo 5 on an Xbox One to use it. Assuming you have that or a friend who has it, this is your prize today. If he doesn't win today, then we'll add it to...
add more to
tomorrow. Yeah.
We'll carry it over and add to it tomorrow. Justin, do you play Halo?
I don't, but I'm looking to get back into gaming soon.
Nice.
So, yeah, well, this sounds great.
All right.
Yeah, this will be a great launching pad, provided you win.
Yeah. And the only rule is, the only rule we have at all is the same honor system Daryl's held to, which is, you know, we always ask Daryl not to be looking up stuff on IMDb or dorking around with the internet while he's trying to guess, so he's not cheating. All we ever ask is the same thing from our listeners, so whoever calls in, including you today, no cheating!
All right.
I believe you, though. See, that's the thing, is we have faith in our listeners that
they're
not cheating.
We totally do.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't.
The category for today's question is the 2010 film Easy A.
Yeah, Easy A.
The 2010 film Easy A.
So you can always tell what Mike, a.k.a. Iceworm, is watching over the weekend.
That's
because
right.
That's what comes up. All right, so that's your thing. Now, do you think, listener, now that you know the category, do you think he's going to get it right or wrong? And again, remember, you'll get to participate, so your answer here may be, you know, maybe depending on how good of a communicator you may be with Daryl or how well you know that movie, because you may be able to steer him in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've never seen this before. I've never heard of it. So I'm just I'd have to say no.
All right.
You think Daryl's not going to get it right? Okay.
All right. So this will be interesting to see which way you guys go. Now, remember, you're going to confer after this question lands.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We,
okay.
we don't have food to test, do we?
No. We don't, no. Okay, still have just, some taffy. And
just
some,
making sure. That we didn't.
Some caprices and some lava rocks.
Brian.
I have lots of leftovers.
You have everything.
Yeah. I do.
Brian has all
the
leftovers.
I even have beaver nuggets upstairs. When you broke your tooth.
Yeah.
I still even have those leftovers. So.
F those things. They broke my tooth. All right. Here's your question, Daryl. Are you ready? You feeling good? You good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it is. In the 2010 film Easy A, there is a scene in which Mr. Griffith, played by... Whoa. Hold on. The screen just flipped past me for some reason. Okay. Oh, you know what I did? Gosh dang it. I'm wearing my braces today. Mm-hmm. Like my wrist braces.
Oh, yeah, your wrist brace, yeah.
And sometimes I touch the space bar without knowing it.
Oh, shoot.
And everything goes flying by. All right, I'm back. Everything's back.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Griffith, played by Thomas Hayden Church. He used to be on Wings.
Mm-hmm. And he was Sandman in the third Spider-Man Sam Raimi film,
the horrible one. And he's right. Also in, although he was one of the better parts, I thought
he was one of the better parts. Yeah,
he was also in Sideways and lots of other stuff. He's great. He had a great role in Tombstone. Anyway, Thomas Hayden Church expresses his displeasure with people sharing everything they do on Facebook. He tells Olive Emma Stone, who plays the character in Easy A, the main character, about a post he read about a student getting a soda at a gas station. What kind of soda does he say this student mentions in his Facebook post? Here are your options. These are all actual sodas, by the way. Or pops, depending on what part of the country you're in. A, Mountain Dew. B, Sprite. C, Pepsi One. Or D, Coke Zero. Again, those are Mountain Dew.
Sounds like a score.
Yeah, it does. Mountain Dew, Sprite, Coke... Or sorry, Mountain Dew, Sprite, Pepsi One, or Coke Zero. Them's your options. Remember, this is a 2010 film that may help inform what you come to. I don't know.
That's right.
Also, think of it this way. This movie features Gwen Stacy and Sandman together. Yeah.
Right, no kidding.
Think of that. Yeah. I love when that happens, when comic book heroes end up together. By the way,
Tina Fey, right? Tina Fey wrote it? Or am I thinking of... I'm confusing with Mean Girls, aren't I?
No, I thought she wrote it. Wait, now I don't know. Did she write it?
Maybe she was just a teacher in it. Maybe that's it.
I know. You know who else is in it? The her dad is in this. Is played by the paper, the head of the paper. Oh no! Hold on. Am I thinking? I'm getting Juno mixed in. No! I'm right. It's it's the guy J.K. Simmons.
No, you are thinking of something else.
Am I thinking of something else? I thought this was it, where J.K. Simmons was in it, and him and his wife are super like. Horny. Am I thinking of someone else?
Wow, certainly. I certainly don't know that.
I saw this movie.
Yeah, but... Stanley Tucci.
Oh, Tucci's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, am I?
Or as Lisa, I call him Stucci.
Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah, I call him Stucci. That's not true, but I would
I'm
like
looking
to
through
call
the list
Stucci.
Here. Fred Armisen. I'm looking through the cast list. I do not see J.K. Simmons or J.K. Rowling for that matter.
Dude, Ninja Steve in the chat room just said J.K. not Simmons. Nicely done. All right. Anyway, so those are your options. Mountain
so
Dew.
Are you familiar with this this film, Daryl?
Yeah. Never heard of it.
All right. All right. So go ahead. Oh, by the way, we should say why we're doing this new method. Do you guys want to know why? It's probably you're sitting there thinking, why'd you change it? Well, here's why. I always feel like we have the caller call in, make the one statement about whether Daryl will get it right or not, and then then we make them go silent for the next 10 minutes or whatever.
Right, especially if we're eating something. It's like, all right, we'll talk to you in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, so you're going to get more bang for your dollar spent per minute for your phone usage or whatever you're doing by being able to communicate. All right, so you two, go for it. Have at it. What do you think?
Okay. Do you have a favorite soda, Daryl?
Well, my favorite would be Coke, but not Coke Zero.
Not a fan? Why not?
I just don't like all diet stuff. It tastes like, I can taste the artificial sweeteners in them.
Yeah, me too. I don't like them either.
Yeah, Coke Zero I like better than Diet Coke, for sure. But I like Pepsi One better than any of those. And it's the Splenda versus the Saccharin or NutraSweet or whatever.
Hey, Brian, didn't you also, I had this weekend, didn't you have the Mountain Dew Dark Knight? Or
I did, yeah. Mountain Dew.
Pitch Black.
Is
it Pitch Black?
Black
Pitch. Black
Label.
Black licorice. Black monkey. No? Come on, let's look.
Black Label.
No, I don't think that's it, is it?
That's what it is. It's Mountain Dew Black Label.
Mountain Dew Black. No, it's Pitch Black, I thought.
No, it's not. Pitch Black is the one that they've had for years, and it's they brought it. Wow. It's Mountain Dew Black Label.
All right, I haven't tried the Black Label. I've only tried the Pitch Black then.
Do you need me to go get my bow tie? Did you get a bow tie with it?
No, I just have a can of pop.
Oh, well, maybe you did get Pitch Black. Did you just get like...
It is Pitch Black. That's what it is.
Okay.
And it's kind of like grape, like some kind of grape thing.
Yeah, no, they sent, I don't know what made them pick me, but they picked me and a bunch of other people on Twitter and asked for our addresses and sent us like a whole big...
Ask for your dresses?
Yeah, her dress. Ask
for our dresses.
Oh.
And sent us a whole big box. I've got the box over there, but it has like a glass. It's got little metal... ice cubes that you freeze and you put in the drink so it doesn't water the drink down. It had a 40-ounce can of the stuff, wow. A bow tie, a coaster.
Wow. That's really weird. How did they pick you? I want to be on that
list. I have
list.
No idea how they picked me or why they picked me.
That's crazy.
And what's funny is they sent me a broken glass.
Yeah.
And then I direct messaged back and said, hey, guys, you sent me a broken glass. And I thought, this is coming from their marketing company. There's no way they're going to send me a replacement. Yeah. Within 3 days, I had a replacement glass, a replacement fixed.
They're serious.
Glass. They are serious.
All right. And was it good? Gosh dang it. I said serious, not Siri. Turn off. All right.
It is really good. It's not as sweet as regular Mountain Dew. Totally dig it.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. So commiserate, Daryl. You don't like the Coke.
The caller doesn't get to talk anymore.
Yeah, I know. I screwed this up already, but go ahead. You guys go ahead.
Well, let's see. I'm supposed to try to get this right, and he said I'm going to get it wrong. So really, I should try to get it wrong so he wins.
Yeah, he's going to help you. In theory, he helps steer you that direction. And hopefully, since neither of you have any idea what this movie's about, you accidentally get it right, and then Brian and I laugh. And no
you one know what? Tomorrow, we mute Daryl so that he doesn't hear the prediction by the listener. So he won't know if the listener's trying to steer him right or steer him wrong.
That's interesting. That's an interesting twist.
Does that get too complicated?
No, I don't know. All of this is too complicated. Are you kidding me? Everything about this screams complication.
If I was going to guess, I would guess Coke Zero.
Yeah.
But I don't have a clue.
I was thinking of that one, too.
Were you? Don't you think... Well
then
mind.
You should try to convince me to not say Coke Zero so that you can be right be wrong.
Maybe
and
I was thinking
win.
That was the wrong one.
Yeah, see, he's thinking it's wrong. I'm not saying anything here except to say, remember, this is 2010. That's all I wanted to just point out here. It's 2010 is the important
2010 movie.
Thing, yeah.
So Coke Zero wasn't out in 2010, or was it?
I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just pointing out 2010 is
okay,
the
okay, it wasn't then. You have just helped me. So I'm going to pick Pepsi One.
You're going to say Pepsi One? Pepsi
Should one. I? Wait, we have to confer.
Yeah,
Should
confer.
I pick Pepsi One?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
All right.
Okay, so, I will do that.
So Pepsi One is what you've chosen?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's find out from the judges if what you've chosen is correctly. If you have chosen wisely, is it Pepsi One? Whoops. It is not Pepsi One. That means that he wins because he said you get it wrong. The real answer is Coke Zero.
It really is Coke Zero.
Now, in my head, I just want to explain something. In my head, I thought I was making it more probable that the caller would win it, but I screwed up and kind of did the opposite.
I know. It was a very clever...
But the caller did win.
But he did win.
He did win.
It worked out. It worked out not the way I expected. Like a lot of things in life. Anyway, Coke Zero is the answer. He says the student got a Coke Zero. He thinks Facebook is dumb and doesn't see the point of posting everything on it. Here's a clip of that going down right here. Here you go.
Roman is having an okay day and bought a Coke Zero at the gas station. Raised the roof. Who gives a rat's ass?
He got a Coke Zero again?
Dude, Easy A is actually a pretty funny movie.
It is really good, yeah.
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
It kind of brings back the stuff that you and I had in the 80s, all the John Hughes films and stuff. I mean, it was that and Mean Girls and to some degree, 10 Things I Hate About You. And
sure, it was their version of what we had.
Right, well, exactly.
What we had was better, but still.
Yeah, of course. Well, no one's going to argue that.
I showed my kids Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and they think it's the best film ever made. So,
well, it is.
I've converted yet another generation to the right
How
way.
Can I be expected to stay inside on a day like today?
You can't be. Ferris. I've got a warm, moist gummy bear in my pocket. Would you like one? All right, we're gonna send our listener on his way. But before we do, so you know, the best way to get this code is to send. Let's see. In this case, send
an email. I see the code right here in chat in show notes.
Yep.
Or direct message me if you're in the chat room.
Yeah. Either way, we'll get you hooked up, brother.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
Congratulations. We'll talk to you later.
Love the show.
Thanks for calling in. You too. I mean, we love you for loving the show. I mean, we love that you love the show. Daryl is the Trek Nerd. You can find him on Twitter at the Trek Nerd. You can also find him at This Week in Trek and the Grumpy Cast. And now he'll play a Google thing with us. And this is the part of the contest that Corinne hates. She hates this Google thing. But I think people like it. So I'm standing my ground on this one. I like this one. Yeah. I think this one's good. So go ahead. What do you think?
Okay. I wrote a little thing to describe what I'm going to do instead of just stumbling through this.
All right.
I am going to read part of a query that I entered into Google, and you complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right. Great.
There's an awful lot of blank.
There's an awful lot of blank.
There's an awful lot of blank.
That doesn't seem like a sentence. Like, it should go on. Like, there's an awful lot of blank in my cheese or whatever. Right.
Right. Well, I imagine yeah, it does fill all that stuff in. Like, there's an awful lot of salt in my bacon.
I'll give you a slight clue. It is like that. There's an awful lot of blank in blank.
Okay. Oh, all right. All right. There's an awful lot.
Why does this feel like it's going to go down like a racism hole or something?
Yeah, there's an awful lot of no kidding, there's an awful lot of Koreans at the store.
There's an awful lot of negativity on YouTube.
Yeah,
that's how I'm gonna finish that sentence.
There's an awful smell. All right, I'm gonna say there's an awful lot of pollution in China. That's what I'm going to say.
Number one query.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm going to say.
Well, you're both wrong.
Well, what did Brian say? Did Brian say one? I missed it.
Yeah, I did. I said negativity on YouTube.
Oh, I thought yours is an example. Okay, go ahead.
There's an awful lot of weirdos in our neighborhood.
Are either of the two...
number one Google search?
Are there any other... did the two we do show up at all in the list at all?
I don't remember those showing up.
Oh, well, heaven forbid we have a thing up here. Let me look. There's an awful...
Oh, that's the fun. It's funny. It is the first one that comes up for me too. And it's the Canadian/UK spelling of neighborhood. So apparently it's search done by Canadians.
Here's the rest of it.
There's an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. There's an awful lot of breathing room, and there's an awful lot of bubbly in Brazil.
I also have there's an awful lot of coffee in Brazil YouTube. What the hell
is that
about?
Song, maybe?
I don't know. Is it? It should be. If it's not, make it so. Bye, Daryl.
Oh, it is. It's a Frank Sinatra song.
Oh, is it?
There's an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
Is it really? Oh, that's a song?
It's a song, yeah.
That is probably exactly how it sounds. For
doobie doobie, love that coffee in Brazil.
We're going to hear this. Okay, I found it. Here you go. I was going to say, okay, here we go. Frank Sinatra with lyrics. Here we go. Check this out. All right. Good playing there, buddy. Oh, it's muted. Hold on. Sorry, everyone. All right, some jaunty, jazzy business. Okay.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Oh my gosh, my new favorite Sinatra song.
Oh, fantastic.
Incredible. All right.
Give me a pause, unpause real quick.
All right, I'm going to give you a pause, unpause. Oh, are you all are we crusty?
Yeah.
I
usually am.
Sorry. I cut you off when you said usually something.
Oh, yeah. Usually happens after Dale. Hey, we should play Ice Worms mashup.
Oh, do we have one? Oh, we do. I forgot to play this. All right. There's a mashup today. Here. Listen, everyone. Listen.
It's so much hassle. it's so much hassle.
I saw Mendoza, by the way. He's still here. He's still with us. My colon's all bloated.
I ate a whole bag of pork.
Oh, the guy on Twitter lied, but I'm feeling really good right now.
I can't decide if it's terrible or great. It's like somebody peed in a pineapple.
There are four scooters.
Wow.
Laying
wow,
out by
the cross the memes again.
They're off all scooters.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Bing boom bong.
That was it. That was the end of it. Okay. All right. I enjoyed that. Thanks.
Very good.
Did Mike remind us? Is that how you knew? Or did you just see the link?
No, I just saw that. I saw the link in there.
Well, look at you.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's time for the news brought to you by...
There's an awful lot of news on the show. Camcorder TV's horror podcast, Count Drahoon's Feature of Fright, turns 1 year old. Check out the anniversary show entitled Count Drahoon's Frighteningly Demonic Anniversary Show. Log into camcordertv.com to listen and stay tuned for the premiere of our episode with Scott Johnson. Mm. Camcorder TV, humble beginnings, big ideas.
I am all up in that. Doom and Quake co-creator John Romero also used to work here in Salt Lake City at a company called Software and More for years before co-creating the id Software.
Software
Doom
and More.
Yep.
What was the more really? The like more, what were they doing besides software?
They made so that's a great question because
soap.
They made they had like a storefront where they sold you go in there and get Lotus 1-2-3 or whatever. Uh-huh. This is like 90s.
Oh, it was like an egghead or a
yeah. It's like early 90s, late 80s. Exactly. And then they started building computers, like gaming computers and stuff.
Cool.
So he played there or worked there a bunch and then he left and then supposedly there's a story I probably shouldn't tell. Anyway, whatever. John Romero of Quake and Doom fame. kind of disappeared for a while and didn't make much, says that he's going to reveal today the details of his next first-person shooter. He's coming back to the PC world, and in fact, they did a video where one of the co-founders of id Software, Adrian Carmack, brother of John Carmack, does like a Rey showing up to Luke on the mountain and hands over the keyboard and mouse like a lightsaber. Deal.
So he's been hiding out somewhere in an island in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, known as California. And
right. Oh, I love that.
Anyway,
all right, cool.
We don't know
cool.
what it is yet. We know that, let's see, Romero is now the co-founder of Ireland-based Nightwork Games, and the company has posted a YouTube video to tease Monday's big reveal, the one I mentioned. Romero was the chief game designer for the first two Doom games and the first game in the Quake series, but left id Software just after the release of Quake in 96. He went on to form Ion Storm, was the main developer and designer behind Daikatana, a terrible video game, complete piece of poo. Mm-hmm. Basically, he hasn't made anything good since, is what I'm trying to say. So we don't know what this means. I have no idea what to expect, but it's like infamy. Like he is infamy in this industry, so I'm super interested in what he
says.
Here's
the key. I hope it has no overcomplexity like a lot of the first-person shooters. Hey, come on. I love me some Battlefront. Love me some Call of Duty. All that stuff.
Yeah.
But what made Doom and Quake so good is that it was just jump into the game, go around corners, shoot stuff. Hide around this corner, shoot stuff. Pick up a new gun, shoot stuff with that gun. Pick up another new gun.
Yep.
And we don't need like, all right, I'm going to use my left analog stick to have my squad follow me or go in a V shape or do all this stuff. No, just give me shoot, move, shoot, move.
Shoot,
that's all
move.
I want.
Shoot, move. In Doom 2, you could go into this room where there was like a hidden wall in the back. And if you went in there, it was John Romero's head on a stick.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a great one of those great things. So I'm gonna play a taste of this video, not to show this necessarily, but I want people to hear the rip-off Star Wars music they use, okay? Because it's not real Star Wars music, but it's close, and I love that when that happens. So here's this. Check it out. He's looking at a car, locks his door. He's supposed to be like Rey.
Uh-huh.
Adrian Carmack. Looking there. Looking good there, Adrian. Okay, hear that? Burp, 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 and then they kind of change it. Okay, it gets worse. There's more. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah. It's very, very Force Awakens. Very.
It's so bad because it's not because obviously they're not going to license that, right?
Well, of course.
So they went with something real close. Okay, here's okay. Now he sees Romero. He's in a hoodie, turned around, still got hair like nobody's business. Okay, get this music on. Kind of Star Warsy.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
I loved it. Oh, I hate it. It's great.
No, I hate it. I hate it. But primarily because I'm a big believer that Romero's best work is behind him. And I don't think that he's going to have much in the way of anything cool to show. I could be wrong, but like, look, the last great game he was involved with was Quake 1 in 1996. 1996, Brian.
Wow.
20 years ago.
20 years.
Was the last good thing he made. Everything else since then was like he got into mobile for a little while. He got that Daikatana business.
I don't even remember hearing about Daikatana.
Oh, really? That was a huge deal. That was like a big, is my deal, Wade, my deal.
I've got to look this up.
It was a big deal and it was a huge mess and the whole company took a dump and it was bad. Romero's not known for succeeding
on
his own.
What was the problem with it? Was it?
It was garbage.
Yeah.
It was a piece of shit and it was delayed forever and took him ages to make. And then when
was
it
like overly complicated or was it?
It was just bad.
Just bad. Okay.
Just boring and lame and slow and ugly.
Oh, yeah. No,
and,
see. I did start playing and people who know me and my track record for video games, I did start playing Assassin's Creed Syndicate this weekend.
That game is great.
And it is really good. Yes.
I've been playing totally it on PC. Totally. That's funny you say that because I've been playing that too.
Oh, really? Yeah. It was like $26 on Amazon this last week. So I'm like, you know what? Boom.
Yeah, totally worth
gold
getting.
Box deal, done deal, bought it, and it's given me some good like Peaky Blinders,
big time,
hunger pains, right?
It's that whole era, right? Like the industrial.
It is. It's before
London.
The cars. Like I was thinking, all right, Peaky Blinders, they had cars there in Birmingham, but
here
they don't. Here it's still horse drawn carriages and lots of trains, lots of trains,
lots of trains. It's very close. It's probably
10, 15 years.
Maybe a decade ahead. Mm-hmm. But it's the best Assassin's Creed they've made in a very long time, since Black Flag, and it's really awesome. So people should probably play it on the cheap. I got it for the same. Yeah. I got it for $30 on Steam, so that's the reason I picked it
up.
Way
to go. Yep.
Anyway, so we don't know what the game is, but we'll find out today sometime. So if it breaks, we'll let you know on the show. Green Mountain Falls. Where's that, Brian? That's somewhere in Colorado,
I
right?
I know Green Mountain. I don't know where Green Mountain Falls, though. Falls is, though. Let me take a look here.
Somewhere in the Colorado is all we know.
Mountain Falls. I used to deliver pizza in Green Mountain.
Oh, yeah? Did you get good tips? Did you ever have a moment when you walked in, the lady says, oh, just put it on the table.
I'm here to deliver the pizza.
No, I delivered to somebody, a couple that I think may have been swingers, but they're basically their coffee table, you know, arranged, fanned out in a coffee table display with some of the raunchiest porn magazines ever.
On the table?
Like, wow. On the coffee table. Like,
wow, you're either in or you're not when you see that. Like, you right, either, that's exactly what they're hoping. They're like, all right, if the pizza guy sees that and gets hyped, then we're good. If he's if he's completely weirded out and wants to get out of there, well, then either way, we know where he stands. That seems like a smart way to do it.
You got to worry about what the toppings are that they, you know, that they ordered their pizza.
Gross. Yeah, I don't.
Can I get some beef on there?
We used to have. I don't want to name names here, but we used to have neighbors in my old neighborhood that were known swingers. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time we got an invitation for dinner, and I said, "Uh-oh." Kim's like, "What?" She goes, "That's not going to be good, honey. They don't invite people for dinner unless they're scoping new prospects for the swinging."
Right. We're auditioning new talent.
Yeah. We ended up not going. Something happened. Someone got sick over there. Something happened. We didn't go, but yeah, I still to this day was like, oh boy, that's, you know, we were trying to be nice, like nice neighbors. Right.
Right. So, this just in, boop, 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 boop.
Yep.
PD Rave in the chat room just linked us to the announcement on PC World.
Oh,
the John Romero, Adrian Carmack, unveiling is a retro shooter called Black Room.
Black Room. It's racist.
Black Room.
Are they, okay, hold on. Do they have, there's the link. I'm gonna look at it real quick.
Sure.
Well, we knew it was going to be a shooter.
Right.
Okay. So Adrian Carmack's got some cred. I would follow him around. Intriguing titular black room apparently refers to an in-game hologram technology that allows users to be anywhere at any time, creating the full realized holographic worlds that are indistinguishable from reality and inside a giant black room. Wait, is this a VR thing?
It's
going
to be a Kickstarter.
Where's it? That's a shock to me.
Yes.
That they'd go Kickstarter on this one.
Right. Set in a holographic simulation gone rogue. Estimated delivery June 2016. Oh, no. Hold on a second. December 2018 is when they expect the game to be delivered.
Okay. It's not a VR thing, is it? It's not VR. No.
I don't think it's VR, but it.
The description makes it sound like it could be VR.
Right. You
know? And shooters notoriously, they're notoriously terrible at VR is bad at shooters because the way that shooters traditionally control and move, you get sick immediately. Mm-hmm. So I can't, if this has either got to be VR out of the get-go or this is a full-on shooter. And I can't tell which. Is the Kickstarter up? Oh, it is.
Kickstarter is up, yeah.
All right, I'm looking at it. I'm clicking it. Clicking on the ye old link. It's not going anywhere. I bet it's getting bombed right now.
I went right to it, but maybe now it is getting
bombed. Waiting for kick. Oh, here we go. Black Room.
December 2018. Fantastic.
Hey, Brian, tuck in.
Exactly.
$13,000 so far of the $700,000 they need. 32 days to go, and... Let's see, I'm going to play the video.
A new technology has been put into use by the company named Hoxar. A leak of the company's internal forum revealed some information on the potential...
Okay.
I got my mom to do voiceover work.
At the site of one of the world's leading tech companies, Hoxar.
Okay, someone hired their friend to do the voiceover.
Yeah,
that was their mom. That was terrible. All right, let's... Green Mountain.
Green Mountain, so it's south. It's by Colorado Springs.
Okay, y'all lost your entire police force there, turns out.
Just all at once. They just said, screw you, we're done.
It says, the chief announced his resignation on Thursday, April 14th, with three other officers following his lead. Anonymous source tells the people writing this at KRQE.com. The entire department quit over policy and unhappiness with the new mayor, who has sworn in just on Tuesday. As of Monday, the resignations went into effect, leaving the folks of Green Mountain Falls with no cops and a lot of questions. Quote, our marshal and three deputies quit. So that's about all that was said. And
it's South Colorado, Scott. Oh, okay. It's not.
It's not Oklahoma.
Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah. Greenbow, Alabama.
We had our hometown marshal for many, many years. So I sure hope we get another marshal in our town. I mean, it sounds very Western, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Marshal.
Anyway, that's weird. It's weird to lose your whole team there.
No kidding.
With a Warcraft movie in the news. This happened over the weekend at PAX. It will not be entirely faithful to the original lore of the game, which I might remind people was a little flimsy to begin with, but that's fine. I'm fine with the movie taking it a little beefier, I hope. Duncan Jones, Zoe Bowie, director of the upcoming Warcraft movie, has stated that the movie will at some points veer off from the game's original lore. The statement comes from a panel he was part of during the PAX East convention. Warcraft movie Jones. That's weird. Has not.
I've got a Jones for this Warcraft movie.
Has not specified at which point the movie will veer off from the lore, but has stressed that every instance of this has the full support of Legendary Entertainment as well as the franchise creators Blizzard Entertainment. Jones says the reasons for the changes will be done to make for a better movie, a statement echoed by actor Robert Kaczynski, who plays Orgrim in the film, who one day would have Orgrimmar named after him. Kaczynski adds the changes were made by people and all the skipping ahead here. Warcraft is slated to open June 10th this year. By the way, the theater rental will be the 11th that I'm doing. Brian Blibbit will be there. Tom Merritt will be there, a bunch of other folks, and we're going to have a good time. So Tina Ibbett, that's right.
Yeah.
And Tina Ibbett.
Like she's a draw.
I love seeing Tina, so she is for me. I'm excited.
Yes.
My wife is in New Orleans right up until that morning. That'll be fun. Yeah, it's real goofed up timeline, but it's fine. She'll be here at 10 a.m., and then the movie time, I think, is at 1. We'll give you guys details soon. You can actually go to a website and bookmark it. It's frogpants.com/Warcraft. And if you're local or interested in being at the movie and want to know how to reserve tickets, that'll be up there soon. Some of these tickets, by the way, will be available. You'll be able to get like the lean back chairs, like the fancy what are those called? The whatever they are, the recliner deals.
Are we is that all through the theater, or is it just like certain rows?
It's just a chunk of them, and VIPs like you and Tom and some family are getting those, or for sure getting some of those.
Oh, nice.
And then there will be some for those who want to reserve them as well. I don't know how many total, but we'll let you guys know soon.
We'll do a special charity auction. You can sit in my lap in the recliner for the right amount of money.
Yeah, and he'll eat some saltpeter before, so don't worry.
What?
You won't have an erection. It'll be fine.
Oh, is that what that does?
That's what I heard. I've heard that before. Is that true, chat room? Confirm. Saltpeter is good for telling Jimmy to go home, right? All right.
I don't know where to go with it either.
So let's talk about this story. Let's talk about female Ted Cruz lookalike.
This is crazy.
Agrees to do porn for $10,000. Now, chat room, here you go. I'm going to give you a little photo evidence. This is the female Ted Cruz lookalike. Brian, click that link. Have a look for yourself.
Oh, I've looked for myself. She looks like Ted Cruz when Ted Cruz cosplayed as Boy George.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly right. Comma. Exactly. That's him right there and her.
Uncle Dracula.
It says here last Sunday, Circe Hayes was an unknown 21-year-old from Natchez, Mississippi. I've been to Natchez, Mississippi. By Monday night, she was a viral sensation after viewers of the Maury Povich show decided she was the female doppelganger for Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz. Hayes went on the show after her fiancé, 25-year-old Freddie Green, accused her of cheating on him. Oh, really? On the Maury Povich
show?
Maury
Povich? I can't imagine. A little controversy? Like somebody cheating on somebody? Who's the baby daddy, maybe?
Yeah. You mean stupid
crap?
Yeah,
listen to the... So from that link, there's like a little interview, a live Ask Me Anything with her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's...
is it going to make me sad?
It's interesting. It's like, well, we had some problems with the baby daddy, but now he's all committed. He's going to be there for me and the baby. We had some argues, and we're fine now.
She says, she'd never heard of Cruz before this. So that's where she's at. I don't know his positions. I've never met him, so I don't know if he's done a good enough job to be reelected. No. He's running for president. He's not being reelected to president. He's running for president. Anyway, she looks just like him. That weirds me out. Is there audio? I want to hear this audio. Okay, hold on. Oh, yeah, she looks just like him.
Well, for the past 48 hours, I mean, the internet's going to blaze with what else? This picture of a former guest of mine, Circe.
What else?
Okay. You know, don't say it's going to blaze.
Hype train, Maury.
The internet's going to blaze. Shut up, Maury Povich. Guys, head on over to squarespace.com right now and take advantage of a great deal. What deal is that? Well, it's 10% off. Off what, you ask? The best site and suite of tools you could ever use to make your own website. You want to make a blog? You want to make a store? Some kind of online presence? Make yourself known, heard, and seen. In style. Looks great on mobile, desktop, all the templates you'd ever need. It's fantastic stuff. I love Squarespace. Been using them for years, and you should too. Here's the best part. 14-day free trial. All you got to do is go, try it, see what you like. And once you decide to stay, use this code. This is the important bit. Use this code. It's morning at checkout. That'll save you 10% on your order. That's morning at checkout at squarespace.com. Squarespace.com. Build it beautiful. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be time for Steven Schleicher. He's back. And V for video games after that. We'll have an email or a phone call or something after that. I don't know. But before all that, Brian's got music. Let's play it.
How does Connie Chung put up with that crap? All right, today is the birthday of one Hammond Chamberlain, who wrote in and said, "Dear Mr. Scott Johnson and Mr. Brian Ibbett, I am now 45. And I love this version of Canned Heat's Rollin' and Tumblin'. Brian, Scott, Daryl, Joel, and Joey, thanks for letting me hang out with you guys and have so much fun." Signed, Hammond. Well, happy birthday, Hammond. And We got our thing funded last week or week before last week. Mm. So Soundography, the podcast Soundography is happening. It's already in the works. We're already getting stuff together for sending stuff out. So I'm excited about that. For his birthday, he requested this cover of Rollin' and Tumblin' by the LA Blues Authority featuring Little John Chrisley and George Lynch. Originally done by Hambone Willie Newburn, but famously covered by Muddy Waters and Eric Clapton and Yeah, Canned Heat. This is LA Blues Authority from the album Songs from the Better Blues Bureau, Rollin' and Tumblin'.
to have fun.
Melody!
You made it!
I had to go to the library to copy reference material for Nikki's report on New Zealand, and that took forever.
Hey, Birdum. This is the morning stream. Bye-bye.
All right, we're back. We're back. That was a raucous, raucous break. Enjoyed it.
Yes, it was.
Enjoyed it a lot. I'm not going to complain one bit about it. I loved it a lot.
Nope. No, don't. Please don't. Don't.
I'm not going to. I'm going to call Steven, though.
Okay. Just do that.
Okay. Steven Schleicher is his name. His last name is, I think, of German origin.
Actually, yeah.
We'll find out. I don't know. I've never actually asked him this. But we'll find out soon enough after I click this here button right here. Steven Schleicher, first. Is it German? What's the origin of the Schleicher name?
Croatian. So around southern, Yugoslavia, Germany, that area.
Wow, look at that.
Yep.
I don't know what that means except to say that's kind of cool, man.
I guess.
Is it? I mean, do you have any like older relatives that are like, I don't know, into the slave business or something? Or like, what was
No.
Like, what goes on? I don't know what happens over there. What's going on?
To tell you the truth, I don't know, because everyone on my dad's side, or at least my dad's mom and dad, died when he was young. So I never really knew his father, my grandfather's side of the family, that well. But I did know all of his mom's aunts and uncles, who also were from that lineage, too.
Ah,
so.
Gotcha. And they all look like, who was that? There was an NBA player that was real good that was from Croatia. What was his name?
No idea.
Tall guy McGillicuddy. I don't know.
Just because my family immigrated here 100 years ago doesn't mean I know everyone from Croatia, Scott.
Darn it, because I was really hoping. Well, all right. It's good to have you here, Steven. We missed you last week. Your car's good now. Everything's fine.
You know, when you think your car is just a little bit longer than the piece of material that you're putting into the car, and you shove just a little bit harder.
Yeah,
that's what happened. Broke a window.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's better than the transmission or something.
The worst part was I was actually putting something in the car to donate it to somebody.
Oh.
So it was a donation, and then I ended up with a $300 windshield repair bill.
That's a pretty raw deal.
I suppose. Depends. The people who got the donation, they're pretty happy with it.
So. Well, and the worst part is we missed you here. We couldn't have you on the show Monday, and that made us sad.
No problem.
But we're glad to have you back. So thanks for being here. Hey, real quick before we get to the issues at hand, there was some breaking stuff today. New and what is being termed as the final trailer for X-Men Apocalypse came out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have it up on the Major Spoilers website right now,
which is where I saw it. People should go look at that. So what are your thoughts on that movie generally?
A little,
how are you
Nightcrawler
feeling?
In this one, and
yeah, there's a little Wolverine appearance for people that were wondering if he was going to be in this. I think it will be as good as Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
My guess is that there has probably been a role that's been severely reduced due to editing, and that they will probably once again try to do another. Here's a whole different movie based on the cut scenes that we should have put in the first time.
Is it set in the 80s or somewhere? Like,
I don't know, because the Jubilee character, her costume is straight up from the 80s in this piece, and it kind of has that vibe. So if you're making that transition between the First Class and the Days of Future Past in this movie, trying to catch up to the Patrick Stewart X-Men stuff, this seems like the 80s would be the appropriate time for it.
Well, then I have a problem, because I understand they want to do their little Spider-Man moment, like the last trailer for Civil War, where at the end it's like, oh, there's Spider-Man, everybody look out. And this one, they basically did it with Wolverine. They show his hand come out and the claws come out.
Right.
But doesn't that jack around with the timeline here a little bit? Like,
no, I mean, Wolverine's been around forever. Like, he's World War One. He's been around.
I get that, but why does he... But he's showing up here for the first time. It looks like it's the first time they ever see him to me, because the way they say, oh, we ran into his,
some of them, yes, because by the time you hit Days of Future Past, that's a far forward story where all those characters know one another.
Yeah.
The last time we saw Wolverine being introduced to Patrick Stewart was at the end of the last Wolverine movie.
Right.
Where Patrick Stewart and Magneto were sitting there going, oh, Wolverine, we need you now.
Yeah.
That's Patrick Stewart, by the way.
Yeah. But there was also the little bit that you get in the first first class movie where they're going out and finding mutants, and you just get like the briefest little, not now, bub.
Or something where he flips them off. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It gives him the bird. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, the Wolverine bird's not quite the same.
The Wolverine. Yeah.
So, okay.
So he's there. I mean, and just based on him going back in time to the Days of Future Past part, he would probably be around at this part. One would imagine that he's out of the Weapon X program that they alluded to in the first X-Men movie.
But will Scott Summers and Jean Grey, will they forget that, or are we just going to forget how they were normally introduced to him in the first X-Men movie? We just don't care about that? We're going to rewrite that a bit, or what?
I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's the part I'm talking about. Because in the first one, he's like boxing in Canada, and then he meets Rogue, and then they go down to the deal, and Rogue's in this last one. Like, the timelines are jacked is all I'm getting at. Like, it feels like it's all a little bit weird. You can't just introduce...
That's what happens when you mess with time, Scott. When you go back in time to try to adjust the future, things are going to get screwy.
Oh, so you... Okay, so there's that theory that Days of Future Past, you know, set everything off on new timelines. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, mm-hmm. that's fine. Whatever. Peter Dinklage is in that. Let's get to the point here, though, today. Pearl Mackey is Bill, the Doctor's new companion. That's a lady, though, right?
Bill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. All right. And here's the thing. I mean, speaking of the 80s, I don't know, Brian, if you watched that trailer, if you saw the costume that she's wearing, but I think she's wearing a pearl. I think she's wearing a Prince t-shirt, denim jacket. She's got like buttons all over the jacket. I think the Doctor's telling her that he's going to take her to the future of 2017. So I think she's a character from the 1980s.
Oh, wow.
And they're going to bring her to the quote unquote modern times.
Did the Prince jacket, was that all, this all done before Prince died, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it have to be. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some timing there.
I'm trying to see her shirt, but that's
just do a search for Pearl Mackey, because the thing with Pearl Mackey is she's got like next to nothing on her credit list. She's been in a movie called Svengali and then a TV show called The Doctor, called Doctors. And now she's Bill in the Doctor Who series that we won't even see till 2017.
Oh, I've seen her before. I like her. Well, I don't know where I've seen her, though.
It'd be hard because, like I said, her IMDb credit list is super short.
Has she got other BBC stuff that she's done, maybe?
I think maybe that Doctor series.
Maybe I saw that. Maybe Kim saw that and I watched it or something. Anyway, she looks familiar. All
don't
right.
they usually, when they introduce a new companion, it's usually from the current time, right? Like, a companion is the viewer's connection to our current time. You know, obviously, the Doctor goes...
It should be, but in this one, it's really odd because they are in some underground bunker or something. The Daleks are attacking. She's like, what's a Dalek? And he's like, he's trying to explain to her what a Dalek is. And she's like, totally not getting it. Well, in the current Doctor Who universe, everyone on Earth knows what a Dalek is because they've invaded the Earth like two times, two times. So she's got to be someone from the past or else she's super retro.
Well, what can all right. Quick question here. I'm not a Doctor Who aficionado, so I don't know how this works. Why does he always have to have a companion outside of like plot reasons? But is there like some kind of interstellar, whatever time lord reason that you have to have one? Yeah, because he always has one.
There's not a rule, but I think that is the through so the audience can get it. And I don't know if it's been explained completely, but I do think that he thinks that humans are kind of quaint.
Okay.
And you got all that room in the TARDIS. Why have it just alone, right? Seems like an awful waste of space.
Have they ever had a boy companion?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Never just a boy companion, though, or just a male companion. It's always a male companion who just happens to come along with the female companion.
Interesting. Well, whatever, man. They seem to have done okay in the past. People like the companions. I haven't really heard anyone complain about people, so she's probably as good as anybody, right?
Man, you've not been on the internet, Scott.
Well, the internet's screw the internet. they don't know what they're saying half the time.
What do they know?
Yeah, they don't know anything. Well, all right, Steven, that's one thing going on.
Yep, that's one thing.
Blade Runner movie. We just saw Blade Runner for FilmSack, the old one, and we had a lot, boy. People get fired up about that movie. I'll tell you what.
Is such a good movie.
We loved it. I think a lot of us really liked it. Like, Brian, it's one of Brian's favorite movies of all time.
For sure. Yeah.
Definitely one of my more influential films. I love it. It was
the first time Randy had seen it.
And he hated it.
Randy had never seen it before?
Yeah. He'd never seen it before. And for FilmSack, because it was the one that was on Netflix, he only watched the theatrical release.
Yeah.
So that's the happy ending, the narration.
Yeah.
And I think, I hope that at some point he does go back and watch the director's cut, because that it is a different movie, and there's a different, there are different ramifications for the main character.
Not only that, it's just, so here's the thing though. We watched it. We got a bunch of comments about it. People still would find reasons to have problems with what you and I said about it, because we couldn't possibly like it enough to match their expectations. Like,
wow.
The fact that we have some disdain for the theatrical but much more love for the director's cut seemed to be a real problem for some people, because they love the purity of the first one and as how they see it.
So I haven't even read the comments yet. I need to. You should go look at that page.
There's some fired up individuals.
I think this was one of the first movies where that started this idea that if you have someone narrating your movie, that it's automatically a bad movie. And Harrison Ford's total disdain for going in and having to record the voiceover stuff for the theatrical release of the movie just kind of cemented that, man, even though the theatrical release is good, it was not, everybody really pretty much hated the experience. And there's a good book out there, and I forget, I think it's called The Making of the Blade Runner. And I think it was someone from maybe Rolling Stone or Premiere was given access during the whole shooting production process to go in and interview and talk with these people. And it's an awesome account of the movie from beginning to end and every problem that went on during the making of the Blade Runner.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So when's this? So this thing got bumped. It was originally scheduled for when? Do we know?
It was originally scheduled for January of 2018. Yeah. They've just started. I think they're well into pre-production. I don't think they've started production yet, but they've moved it up to October of 2018. This is definitely going to be a sequel to the original, not a remake.
Oh, it's 2000. Wait, I'm sorry, I got this wrong. Oh, yeah, from January 2018, but it says moved to October 2017, so it's actually bumped up like sooner.
Yeah, they're moving it up, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Which is actually a good thing, because you're moving it out of that, what used to be known as a dead zone between January and March of really bad movies, and into a time period that is still not the best time for movies, but it's still putting it into a good cycle right before Star Wars and whatnot. So yeah. I think that this is a good spot for it.
Well, I'm all in. I'm Ryan, excited.
Ryan Gosling, Robin Wright, and Harrison Ford will be in the movie.
Robin Wright.
Yep.
Interesting.
She'll be a replicant.
No, she can't be.
She'll be a replicant.
She'll be a replicant. She's a positive influence.
A replicant.
Are we not going to get, we're no Sean Young in this? Come on now. Didn't they write off?
I think they had talked about it, but I don't know. If you kind of believe what the what happened after the first movie, she eventually, her time runs out, but Deckard's does not. His was no end date on his.
Is that the explanation? I need to read that book. There's probably a lot of that in there.
No. The book is nothing like the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a really good discussion on this several years ago on Zach on Film, where Zach actually went in and he watched the movies, he read the book, and then came in and his mind was totally blown about how different an adaptation can be from the beginning to end. If people want to, though, Scott, I think it was Boom Studios had a 12-issue maxi series where they basically took the book word for word, Philip K. Dick's book, and turned it into a comic book.
Oh, I need to see that.
Yeah, it's out there. You can get it in trade paperback for sure.
I can't remember. I'm having a recollection about this. Like Tom was telling me about it or something. Because his favorite book of all time, it's either Android's Dream of Electric Sheep or it's Man in the High Castle. I can't remember, but he's a huge Philip K. Dick guy. Philip Dick. But I did notice this. Minority Report, I read that after I'd seen the movie. It's nothing like it.
Right.
It's like, I think there's a core concept there, right?
That seems to happen with a lot of Philip K. Dick's books, where they take the concept and then they turn it into something totally different,
which I'm fine with, because I honestly, when they've tried to go straight up with it, it falls a little flat for me. I did not like what's the weird Keanu Reeves one,
Johnny Mnemonic.
No.
Well, that was one too, but there's another one that was the animated one where they were all tripping out
rotoscoped one. Standard Darkly.
I did not like, and it was pretty true to the source, so. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means, except Philip K. Dick is a genius and you kind of have to tweak his stuff to make it work.
He will be missed.
Yeah. Too soon. No, I don't know. How long has he been dead for a long time, right?
10 years, 15 years, something like that.
Well, we'll miss you, Philip K. Dick. anyway, that's exciting. So look forward to it. October 2017.
Yep.
Steven, I got to ask you one final question before we kick you out. And that is, do you have an over-under feeling about the Warcraft movie? Do you think we're gonna things are gonna go well? What do you where's your head at with this?
I don't, you know, to be honest, I don't know because I really want this movie to do well. I think that there's too many people that, I mean, granted, Blizzard and World of Warcraft are a huge game, but I don't think there's enough super audiences to really make it a huge hit like we might see with Civil War.
Yeah.
I think it'll do well. I think it'll be number one for at least 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
But I'm just afraid that there's not enough audience out there that understands the concept. And unfortunately, and fortunately and unfortunately, it doesn't look like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So people are going to step out right there.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, I'm super excited about it. I wish Blizzard would just get in the business of making animated movies.
Yeah, I agree. Because nobody does that crap better than they do it.
Right, oh, right.
Yeah, they're amazing.
So amazing. It's all internal. It's crazy. Everyone else hires out to these other studios and they do their own. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Steven's always a pleasure. Anything else you'd like people to know about before we cut you off?
No, head over to majorspoilers.com. I've got a new Lego build this week. It is the final of the Marvel Captain America Civil War sets with a Giant Man figure for people who haven't seen that one.
Oh, cool.
It looks pretty cool, so go check it out.
Giant Man!
Giant Man.
I hope that's not a spoiler for the movie, right? That would be a great, well-kept secret.
No, the Lego stuff has been kind of tangential, but totally off base on a lot of the spoilers.
They have a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah. And so I think Giant Man is just a spoiler, or just an add-in. If we do have a Giant Man, that will be surprising.
That would be really cool.
It'll be a giant Michael Douglas, too.
Yeah.
Funny.
Wait, I thought I heard something about him getting all big in this, Ant-Man going all large. I thought I heard about that.
I don't know. There's been no indications other than rumor.
Okay. Well, we'll have to see. I do know this. It's getting great early buzz. I'm very excited. Looks like the Russo brothers are doing it again, man.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited. Steven Schleicher, everybody. Major Spoilers on Twitter. Majorspoilers.com. Bookmark it. Use it. Go there. It's amazing. What a resource. Steven, take it easy. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Bye now.
See ya.
Bye now. All right. What do we got here?
You tell me.
Veronica Ann Belmont, I believe this is what is up. I believe this is what is next in our lives. So sit down, back up, and here it is. Veronica Ann Belmont. Veronica, how are you?
Go shopping at the Belmont.
I'm good. I got crazy audio stuff just happened just now.
Oh, you did? From me?
It sounded like, I don't know. It sounded like I was in a wind tunnel.
Oh, weird.
Or something.
I guess
it was just on my end. Weird.
Must have been. I apologize for whatever the hell that was. Here's Howard Dean yelling. How did that sound on your end? Was that bad?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
All right. Not bad.
Okay. What else you got for me?
Well, I'll tell you this. I've got this for you. I've got a chance for you to come on the show on Mondays like you always do and talk about video games, because that's what we do with Veronica Belmont.
Just a chance.
She's a gamer. She's a lover of the video game. She loves the news surrounding it and comes on here and talks about it, which I always love doing. So what's going on? What's happening? Do we have anything cool happening?
Will there ever be a PlayStation 5? Nobody knows.
I have a theory about this that there won't be, because their plans for this Neo machine, this PlayStation 4.2 or whatever, where they're beefing up 4. The specs.
5. Isn't it 4.5?
No, 4.5, sure.
Okay. The problem is incremental changes. Yeah. What's up with that?
It's very incremental. And I understand. I think I get why they're being so incremental with it, because this is a big shift potentially in the console market, something it's never tried to do before, which is create an upgrade path mid-cycle that isn't just an accessory or some sort of add-on, but an actual brand new box that in theory will play your games better, but still the old one has to play the game. So the new one might get a little better texture, might get a little better polygon count, but the game still has to work on both, which some people see as very incremental, because you're basically saying, well, you're not really getting that much better performance because it still has to run for people's existing PlayStation 4s. So there's that whole conversation to be had, but the idea that it could bump out the potential of an actual named PlayStation 5 is that's floating around a lot. People are talking a lot about consoles are now PCs, basically, and you just upgrade them forever.
Yeah, and then Microsoft, Phil Spencer came out and said that that they're not going to do it, at least for this generation. Mm-hmm. So there won't be an incremental upgrade to the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Don't expect an Xbox One and a half, he said. But this seems like really difficult for developers. I mean, Greg Zeschuk from BioWare, apologies if I'm saying his name wrong, said that would be a gigantic pain in the ass for developers and consumers. So do you agree? Do you think that it's smart to not do a whole big, huge release or to just allow smaller changes to happen?
Well, so here's how it's supposed to work. And I don't know, I kind of, in a way, I'm kind of excited to see how it pans out, but not, but I'm not excited from a gamer perspective because it seems like it's a little hamstrung. So the way it's supposed to work is this. If they make Uncharted 4, and they will this coming month on the 10th it comes out, Uncharted 4 will come out, probably do really well, be a big hit, look amazing. It, by all accounts, it looks really great on PS4, and it's a PS4 exclusive. Come this fall, if and when they have this Neo machine out, this 4.5 version of the device, that game will be patched to support the advantages of the better GPU, the better CPU, and the more RAM that this box will reportedly have. But it can't, it's never going to be that much better because the game has to run on the existing model. So they're trying really hard to say, yes, it's a better platform, but hey, developers, you still have to make sure it works on both, and you can't do much more on the faster one that you couldn't do on the other one. In other words, there are no exclusive games that only will run on the 0.5. They all have to run on both platforms, which is both good for developers and bad for them, because on the one hand, they can't really do too much crazy stuff that the new one may let them do because they still have to develop for the other one. So they don't want to split their development time too much. So in the end, we're probably just going to get at, you know, it's going to look pretty much the same. So Sony may not get what they want. There may be no real tangible bump in performance for people because the developers aren't taking advantage of it. Then here's what I think they do. They run through the cycle of whatever that takes, another 3 years or something. Then you go full PlayStation 5. And a PlayStation 5 allows you to play all your existing games on the PS4. They're going to stay with a PC architecture, which essentially means upgrade. You know, you can, backwards compatibility is no longer an issue. You just play all those old games, but the PlayStation 4 won't play any of the PS5 games that are exclusive to that. And that's how they do it. They do this half step every generation. There's a PlayStation 5.5, small bump and whatever. Then they do a PS6. It plays all the previous games, even PS4 titles for that matter, in theory, but only PS6 games will play on a PS6. Does that make sense? I think that's what they're
going to
do.
They should just hire you to plan out this whole roadmap.
Scott Johnson, marketing for Sony.
I've thought a lot about it. I've thought a lot about it, and I don't know why I'm thinking so much about it, except just that it's such a weird shift, potentially. And Sony may be just biting off more than they can chew, and this may be a huge flop. I don't know.
Well, you know, maybe as PC gamers primarily, maybe we're just used to upgrading things on our own or feeling more comfortable with thinking about needing to upgrade more regularly. Or I don't know. Maybe it's a... I don't really care about this either way because I don't play consoles anymore.
Well,
so for me, I don't give a crap.
But you're part
other
of,
people do.
You may be part of what Sony's eyeballing here, because what they're thinking to themselves is, well, shoot, we can no longer ignore what PCs are doing, primarily because there's going to be a big shift over there in VR. But also, look what Steam is now. It's no longer just this weird little piddly thing that the console makers didn't worry about. It's now a tangible, amazing thing that runs on Linux, Mac, and PCs that has a huge breadth of games from small indies to big AAAs. And most of the big games that come out on all the platforms look better on PCs. Mm-hmm. So this is maybe their way of going, all right, well, if we want to get some of that middle crowd, maybe we can do it this way by saying, hey, that thing you're used to being able to do where you've got better hardware, now you can do it for less than the cost of a new video card. You buy a whole new PlayStation that costs less than your 980 Ti. It does seem very wasteful. I agree. I don't know how. See, that's the problem. There's so many. Like, I kind of get where they're coming from, and I kind of like the gumption, but there's just a lot of weird holes in this, and it also breaks like 50 years of tradition in consoles. It's just weird.
50 years, yeah.
That's a weird thing.
100 years of time-tested
from the
tradition.
Old Atari 2600.
Well, we'll see. That would have been 73, 74, whatever that was. So we're not
quite there, I guess.
Yeah, we're getting there.
40, certainly.
Yeah, but, you know, like, it's a very different approach, and it's not the same as just, well, here's a headset, or here's a wavy wand, or here's a 32X to put in your Sega CD, or, you know. Like, it's not one of those where those rarely succeed beyond the initial hype. They don't ever sell one-to-one. But this is saying, hey, take out your old one, put in your new one. Here's your, you know, it is a very different kind of upgrade. You're literally not talking about an upgrade in the PC sense where it's new video card or new RAM. You're talking about pulling out everything and putting a whole new thing in. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah. We're going to find out this fall probably what the hell they're going to do.
Probably.
Yeah. And I don't know. We'd love to hear feedback from people what they think is going to happen. Veronica, it's always good to talk to you. Hope you're doing good. Are you playing anything fun right now? What's going on?
No, I'm not playing anything.
Oh, you need to get a game going. You got to play something.
I know.
It's just something to take you away from all this.
Too busy with the new direction, which is the way it should be.
Yeah.
I know. I would love to. I get stressed out every time I try to think about playing video games. I'm like, I have too much work to do. I need to focus.
Plus, you're writing that talk. That's coming up.
It's stressing me out so much.
I know.
It's okay. It'll be fine.
You're going to do great. I'm not worried about you at all. Plus, what was I going to say? Oh, I don't remember. I had a thing to say, and now I don't remember. So this is working out great. It's Veronica on Twitter. She's also Sword and Laser. Go to swordandlaser.com. You have two books. Oh, can you briefly just say those two books that you thought were rad this month, the two picks?
Sure. A Darker Shade of Magic by V.E. Schwab and The Fifth Season by N.K. Jemisin.
You seemed real bullish on both those, so.
Oh, great. They're so different, and they're both so good.
I'm very excited. Hey, have you heard of the Hater series real quick? Have you heard of this? All right. I'll talk to you off air about that. I'm trying to find other people who can tell me, because I'm loving this first book in the three book series, and I want to make sure that I'm not heading towards something dumb. So maybe somebody out there knows. I'll go check Goodreads, I guess, or something. But anyway, it's Veronica Belmont, everybody. Veronica on Twitter. Follow her there. She's always got something to say. Veronica, take it easy. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye now.
See ya.
Boy, I'm a chatty Cathy today. This PlayStation, the PlayStation stuff is intense for me.
Yeah, it is. I can tell. You're passionate about it.
I am. I'm very, very interested in how that all pans out. And I don't know that I would be in the market even for the... Well, I mean, I would if it blew my mind. I don't know. I think that they're... So we didn't talk about the other reason why they're doing this. There are other reasons besides game improvements. Mm-hmm. It's 4K output for video. In fact, that's probably primarily
that's
why
probably
they're doing
the
this.
Big thing, right?
Because 4K TVs are on the rise. This gives them a chance to take advantage of that. And also, what was the other reason? The other reason was, and VR gives them better performance in VR. But then again, they already have these strict rules about their VR games. They can't run like crap on the old one or else they will not be approved.
Sure.
But do you see why that makes it hard for developers to decide what to do?
Right. Yeah. I mean, do they embrace the new technology and sacrifice how it looks on the older technology, or do they?
Yeah.
They write for the bigger base, the bigger customer base.
Exactly. And PC players are all just laughing at any of this because even this new one will be some far cry from their great new video cards they have.
Far cry. What?
Far cry. You heard it here first. Far cry 6. All right. I got an email or a phone call to play. You want to hear this one?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to play it. Even if you didn't want to, I was going to play it.
No. Okay.
But I'm glad you
know.
It's from a listener, calls in all the time, and he has a theory about the whole use of the term ladies and why it's offensive to some and not others.
Okay.
Here you go. Whoops. Here you go.
Scott, hey, it's Kevin from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Ann Arbor, one of the most progressive cities in these states united. Anyways, I couldn't believe you don't understand why the term ladies is offensive. It's super obvious. It's been going on here for a long time. Basically, the word ladies sort of sounds like the word labia.
No, it doesn't.
And as we know, the labia is obviously part of the female anatomy.
Uh-huh.
And the word male is in the word female. So it's just another clear example of the patriarchal oppression of women in our society today. Just thought I'd let you know.
Oh, Ann Arbor. A fount of wisdom, really.
He's the third eagle of the Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
Co-prophet of these and times.
He even threw in a, as we know.
And I know. I think that's why it's so tongue-in-cheek, right? This is tongue-in-cheek, isn't it?
Oh, it has to be.
Okay.
It has to be.
I'm hoping he's not serious. I'm thinking.
He should have ended with this.
And the co-prophet of these end times.
Times.
I love when he really drags it out.
The vocal fry.
And times.
Times.
William Tapley, one of the great tragedies of the end times.
No editing there.
End.
Nope.
Times.
Wow, today's a third eagle sandwich. We had him at the top, had him at the bottom.
Begin with the third eagle, we end with third eagle.
As far as I'm concerned, he'll always be in our hearts. Let's end the show before it goes too far off the rails. Thank you, folks, for supporting us at patreon.com/TMS. Because of you, that's why we get to be a show. So please keep your help happening over there. And if you haven't, consider it. If you enjoy the show and you get tons of it and you're like, man, I really wish I could give back. Geez, $1 a month is nothing. So go do it.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. All our links are there. You can send us emails at themorningstream@gmail.com. You can send us voicemails at 801-471-0462. On Twitter, @Coverville, @ScottJohnson, @Morningstream. And later today, 3 o'clock Mountain Time, that's 5 p.m. Eastern, there will be a live Hotline Monday with myself and Justin Robert Young. Not sure what our topic is yet.
Oh, I was just going to ask you.
I have no idea. Okay. I'm sure we'll figure it out by then. But if you come back for that, it'll be live right here at the same place you're watching us live. Those who are watching us live, frogpants.com/live. You can call this number, 801-895-4724. That's the live number. That's 801-895-IRAGE. And let you participate in the chat and conversation.
I rage.
I rage. I think that's it. Let's get the hell out of here by doing it in style, which means music.
And 26 minutes left in the Overwatch open beta, by the way.
Oh, I thought it was midnight last night. Okay.
No, Civ said it's ends at 11 o'clock our time. It's like, maybe I'll sneak in one after we.
I kind of just want to see. I want to see how it ends. You know.
Are you gonna leave your character sitting on 1,000 needles? Leave Tracer.
Wake up the next day covered in water. Yeah, that'll be great.
All right, Ken goes by the name Galabon, and Slack says, "Hello, Scott and Brian. This year, my birthday falls on a Sunday, so I can't get a request played on that day. But Sunday, April 24th, I completed my 48th orbit around the sun on this rock we call planet Earth. One of these days, I need to get Scott and Terpster to give me some hypothetical help." On finding a good woman to marry and settle down with. But for now, I'll just ask the two of you for a birthday song. Last year, I was blown away by the live version of Pink doing Led Zeppelin's Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, which was itself a cover of a folk song recorded by Joan Baez. Actually, my sources say that it's done originally by Ann Braden. And not by Joan Baez.
And as we know.
I take any other cover of or by Led Zeppelin, of course, if you can't find any of these. I'm feeling a bit peckish here on the East Coast and could go for a sandwich with poultry, cured pork, cheese, and salad dressing.
Oh, my Lord. I guess that's the bacon cheddar ranch one. Here you go.
They don't shrink like bacon.
No.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
There you go.
Cool. Thanks and have a fantastic week. Well, you know, we're just going to just skip right over the if that's not possible. It's possible, Ken, and it's not just possible. It's happening. This is a live recording from Pink's Melbourne Funhouse Tour, live in Australia. It's a DVD, but, you know, there's audio you can get from these DVDs, and it's a good one. It's a cover of Led Zeppelin / Ann Braden's Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, covered here by P! Exclamation point.
Not since Kadalerhav. We had so much fun with the name.
That's right, exactly.
All right, come on back tomorrow, everybody. Brand new show then. Thanks for being here. Thanks for watching live. Thanks for listening at home. We'll see you then.
know it's good to have you back again, and I know that one day, baby, we're gonna go, yes,
Network. Get more at frogpants.com. I thought I did that right.
We could put together a kick-ass ad hoc city program.
All right.